When we read the gospel for today's Mass, we cannot help but think of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the state of the church and weeping over it, just like on that day when he drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, and he wept over it, and he said, as he could say now to the whole church, if you had known in this your day, even you, the things that are for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. What is hidden from our eyes these days? What has been hidden from the eyes of the vast majority of Catholics for decades? Well, one of those things is beautiful and ancient worship, as well as the clear dogmas of the Church as taught in the old catechisms, clear instruction regarding the faith and morals, clear instruction regarding the sacraments. Even the sacraments themselves have been hidden from our eyes. As we all know, the sacraments were taken away from the people for a long time. But all those things that bring us closer to God and that enable us to find peace in our souls, many of those things are and have been hidden from our eyes. It is said that St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "True peace consists in not separating ourselves from the will of God." And we know what this means. We can be at peace, we can find peace, and have peace in our souls only when we are in the state of grace and only when we are doing God's will, which means that it's very hard for us to find this peace of the soul if the means God has given us to receive his grace are taken away from us, if they're hidden from our eyes. And also, it's hard for us to do the will of God if we don't know what his will is, if those who are supposed to teach us the faith neglect to do this, and instead of teaching the truth with clarity, they sow confusion and error. But all of this is something we must always be ready for. Today, in the words of our Lord, in the words that he speaks to Jerusalem, we can see a warning for ourselves. For days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a rampart about you and surround you and shut you in on every side and will dash you to the ground and your children within you and will not leave in you one stone upon another. In many ways, those who, for example, love the traditional Mass around the world feel like this, like they feel like this is happening to them right now. Even the Mass of the ages now is going to be hidden from their eyes, taken away from them. And some people are asking the question, and what's the big deal? And the answer is that one of the reasons why we love the old Mass so much is because, as Professor Kwapniewski writes so eloquently, and forgive me for the long quote, very long quote, he says, what some now call the extraordinary form was the ordinary form of the Mass for most of the history of the Church in the West. Since a Latin language rite of Mass, recognizably in continuity with or in the same family as the 1962 Roman Missal, has been in place since the 4th century, we are talking, on a conservative estimate, of a millennium and a half of efficacious liturgical prayer on the lips and the hearts of innumerable men, women, and children. The Roman Church spread throughout the world from the Mediterranean evangelizing first Western Europe, then North and South America, Asia and Africa. And wherever her missionaries went, they brought their Latin liturgical books and customs with them. This is the Mass that over 200 popes celebrated, among them St. Leo the Great, St. Gregory the Great, St. Leo the Ninth, St. Gregory the Seventh, St. Celestine the Fifth, St. Pius the Fifth, and St. Pius the Tenth. Texts or ceremonies of this Mass are cited and discussed by all the Western fathers and doctors of the Church, including St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. Bede, St. Peter Damian, St. Anselm, St. Albert the Great, St. Bonaventure, St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Francis de Sales, and St. Alphonsus Liguori. St. Thomas Aquinas, whose awe-inspiring theological writings occupy some 50 volumes, celebrated his daily Dominican Rite Mass, which is a close relative of what we call the Tridentine Mass. He served, that Mass was served by his secretary, Reginald, and then they switched roles, and St. Thomas would serve at Reginald's Mass. Not only did the angelic doctor write about the traditional Mass, he even had the rare privilege of contributing to it by composing, at the request of Pope Urban IV, the exquisite Mass propers and the office for the Feast of Corpus Christi. Speaking of poets and thus, by extension, of artists, so widely respected was the Tridentine liturgy, which inspired centuries of the highest artistic creativity the world has ever known, that famous non-Catholics such as Agatha Christie, Iris Murdoch, Kenneth Clark, Robert Graves, Yehudi Menachem, and Vladimir Ashkenazi came to its defense in 1971, imploring Pope Paul VI not to abolish the greatest cultural treasure of Western civilization. Plenty of famous Catholics, too, lamented its loss with sorrow and alarm, including Evelyn Waugh, Christopher Dawson, Graham Greene, David Jones, and J.R.R. Tolkien. This is the Mass during which St. Francis of Assisi and his early companions had visions of the crucified Lord and the release of souls from purgatory. The Mass at which St. Louis IX, the Crusader King of France, assisted twice or three times a day. The Mass that St. Philip Neri had to distract himself from before he celebrated, because it so easily sent him into ecstasies that lasted for hours. This is the Mass first celebrated on the shores of America by heroic Spanish and French missionaries such as St. Isaac Jogues, who requested and received permission to keep offering it even after his fingers had been gnawed off by the Iroquois. This is the Mass Blessed Miguel Pro risked his life to celebrate before being captured and martyred by the Mexican government in 1927. This is the Mass Father Damien of Molokai celebrated with leprous hands in the church he himself had built and painted in Hawaii. For the sake of offering this traditional Mass, the Jesuits of Elizabethan England, chief among them St. Edmund Campion, went around from house to house in disguise and were most of them caught, tried, convicted, hanged, and torn apart alive. This is the Mass that priests said secretly in England and Ireland during the dark days of persecution. The Mass Father Frederick Faber called the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. The Mass St. John Henry Newman said he would pray every moment of his life if he could. St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, St. Edith Stein, who was to die in the gas chambers of Auschwitz became completely enraptured with this Mass. And so did the doctors of the Church, St. Hildegard and St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, and the Little Flower, St. Teresa of Lisieux. This is the Mass St. Padre Pio insisted on celebrating right until his death in 1968. St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, never stopped celebrating it to the time of his death in 1974. And our list could go on and on. What a glorious cloud of witnesses surrounds the traditional Latin Mass. Their holiness was forged like gold and silver in the furnace of this Mass, and it is an undeserved blessing that we too can seek and obtain the same formation they had. For centuries, this Mass was attended by kings, soldiers, merchants, peasants, and children. It formed saints and scholars, converted sinners, sustained monks and nuns, inspired martyrs, and comforted the afflicted in a complete range of social and economic conditions, from the basilicas of ancient Rome to the battlefields of the Second World War, from the mission stations of Africa to the suffering church in communist China." End quote. That's from Dr. Kwasniewski. We must pray for the future of the traditional Mass in our diocese, and we must give thanks to God because we have a good and loving bishop who truly cares for his people. We are fortunate, yes, but in many other dioceses, people are not so fortunate. Are they entitled to be angry? Are we entitled to be angry with those who are responsible for what seems to be persecution against all that is good and holy? Are we justified, for example, in being angry with those who have the power to stop the sacrilegious LGBT masses or the ever so irreverent and sacrilegious masses that are rife with abuses against the Blessed Sacrament and that take place in so many places around the world, but choose instead to use their power to go against what is traditional and holy? Are we justified if we were to get angry at those who don't seem to want to act against financial and sexual scandal in the church, but seem very determined to fight against traditional Catholic values and morals, and who don't seem to care for the sanctity of life, or the sanctity of marriage, or for reverence in the liturgy and proper respect for the Blessed Sacrament? The Gospel today clearly shows us that there is something we call righteous anger. We read in the Gospel, "And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, 'It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" Anger, when it is sinful, can be very destructive. If it is not kept in check, it can cause great harm to the person who is angry and to those around him. But there is a kind of anger that is not sinful, and this is why St. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Be angry, but do not sin." There is a righteous use of anger. And actually, the proper Christian attitude toward anger is not to suppress it in all circumstances, because we should hate the things that God hates, and they should make us angry. St. Thomas Aquinas says, "If anger is desire for vengeance insofar as it is really just, then anger will be good and virtuous, and is called zealous anger. But if it is desire for vengeance that appears just but is not really just, then the anger is a sin." We must hate what God hates. We must hate sin and pray pray for those who commit it. And this means that we must be merciful, and actually only if we are, we will find mercy ourselves. We must be merciful and we must pray for those who are behind and those who allow the scandals in the church, as well as the persecution of traditional values and the true doctrine. We must pray for them, but we must not let their bad example lead us into sin. And St. Paul reminds us of this today in the epistle when he tells us not to imitate those who were offending God in the past and perished. He tells us that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, and we could add, even as some of them are. He continues, we must not commit fornication or fall into impurity, even as some of them did. We must not tempt Christ as some of them did, and we must not murmur as some of them did. And after saying all this, St. Paul says, he adds something extremely important. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. So he's saying that all these things are in a way, they are warnings for us. And then he continues, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, which means that we must be very careful and we must neither fall into complacency nor into pride and presumption. We must not fall into pride and think that in some ways we are not part of the problem. We must examine ourselves and we must realize and acknowledge that in many ways we are part of the problem. And if there seem to be chastisements happening in our own times, it's also because of our own sins and because of our own mediocrity. Jesus says today when he gives his warning in the gospel, at the end he says, because you did not know that it was the time for your visitation. It would be good for us to realize that we are all responsible for those chastisements, because thinking the opposite would be very dangerous and could easily lead us into the sin of pride. And what this means is that we must take our sanctification very seriously. We must strive now more than ever against the enemies of our salvation, against Satan, the world, and the flesh, against our own fallen nature, against our own sinfulness, and we must become, with God's grace, more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, more and more like His Blessed Mother, more and more like Mary, our Mother, a perfect reflection of the holiness of God. She is a mirror of justice, and we must be too. We must try to be a reflection of the sanctity and holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do this with the help of God's grace. St. Paul reminds us of this today too. May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also give you a way out, that you may be able to bear it. This is always a good reminder for us, especially when we feel tempted to despair, or when we feel tempted to feel the wrong kind of anger, or when we feel tempted to become despondent without hope for the future, and we feel tempted to lose our peace and to lose our joy. We must remember God gives us His grace, and with His grace we can overcome those temptations and we can practice the virtues, including hope and joy. Actually, these virtues are absolutely necessary. St. Thomas Aquinas says, for example, that man cannot live without joy, because one who is deprived of spiritual joys goes over to carnal pleasures. And I want to quickly remind all of you, as I close now, That today we also celebrate the feast of Saint James the Greater, the brother of Saint John, the apostle who went to Spain, where he endured persecution and rejection. He felt the temptation to despair, but he trusted in our Lord and he had hope. And Our Lady helped him. She appeared to him and she encouraged him to continue his work of evangelization. And with God's help and with our Blessed Mother's help, he was able to evangelize all of Spain. Let us ask our Blessed Mother to help us always persevere in the grace of God, striving seriously for holiness with hope, with charity, with mercy towards those who persecute all that is good, with faith and charity, and with courage and joy.